Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 3rd, 2023. Coming up this hour,
stocks kick off the new year with gains after a dismal 2022.
The IMF warns a third of the world economy to be in recession this year.
China's Xi Jinping says tough challenges remain in the country's fight against COVID.
And Tesla delivers fewer vehicles than expected in the fourth quarter.
The man charged with shooting up a New York subway car will be in court, plus Brazilian authorities are reopening a fraud case against Representative Alex Santos. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanchauer in sports. The Knicks and Nets won the Bills-Bengals game postponed after a Buffalo player went into cardiac arrest.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg, and S&P futures up 36 points or 0.9%. Dow futures up 0.8% or 278 points. And NASDAQ futures are up 1.1% or 119 points. 10-year treasury up 1 3/32 seconds, yield 3.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.34%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% on $1.25 at $79.02 a barrel. Nathan.
All right, Karen, let's stay with these markets as we kick off the new year. Investors seem to be glad 2022 is in the rear view. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with more. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Wall Street futures point to a higher opening as investors cautiously ring in the new trading year. They're keeping a close eye on global equities, having lost 20% in value after sharp swings last year. Then there's the dreaded I word and what to do about it. Traders worry the Federal Reserve and other central banks might be willing to risk a recession to bring down inflation that remains stubbornly high. We'll get a better look at the Fed's thinking tomorrow when policymakers release notes from their latest meeting. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. Well, it's the first day of trading for stocks in London, and let's get the latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Stephen Carroll. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The London market joining in that New Year rally. Shares in the FTSE 100 up 2.3% 2 hours into the trading session. The top performers on the British market include the food delivery service Ocado, British Airways owner IAG, as well as the oil majors BP and Shell. We've got a second day of gains across other European markets. The stocks 600 up 1.8%, the CAC 40 in Paris and the DAX in Frankfurt both up 1.4%. Best performing sector, travel and leisure shares, currently up over 3%. Are people planning New Year's holidays in London? I'm Stephen Carroll, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Stephen, thanks. And while we are watching the markets, we're also keeping an eye on a serious story in sports this morning. A safety for the Buffalo Bills suffered a cardiac arrest during last night's game with the Cincinnati Bengals, and John Stashower is here live with the details. John?
Yeah, Nathan, DeMar Hamlin, only 24 years old. He made a tackle in the Bills game against the Bengals and then collapsed, having gone into cardiac arrest. CPR was administered. They restored his heartbeat, and Hamlin this morning is in a Cincinnati hospital, said to be sedated with his vital signs back to normal, but he is listed in critical condition. The game was postponed. No word yet on his resumption. John Stashower, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And, of course, we'll have more on that story coming up in our sports report. But first, let's turn to the COVID outbreak in China. President Xi Jinping says the country is moving into a new phase in its COVID pivot. In his New Year address, President Xi warned of hard times ahead.
With extraordinary efforts, China has prevailed over unprecedented difficulties and challenges. And it has not been an easy journey for anyone. We have now entered a new phase of COVID response where tough challenges remain.
Chinese President Xi Jinping did not acknowledge recent protests over COVID directly, but did say it's only natural for people to have different concerns and views on issues.
Well, President Xi is not the only one seeing tough times ahead, Karen. IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva is issuing a warning on the global economy. She says one-third of the world will be in recession this year.
We expect one-third of the world economy to be in recession. For most of the world economy, this is going to be a tough year, tougher than the year we leave behind. Why? Because the three big economies, US, EU, China, are all slowing down simultaneously.
IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva spoke on Face the Nation from CBS. Catch the program every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, in Washington, Nathan, a new Congress is seated today. That means it's time to select a new Speaker of the House. But as Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports, this is not expected to be a coronation.
Kevin McCarthy's chances remain in doubt. With the Republicans only holding a slender majority in the new House, McCarthy cannot lose more than 4 GOP votes in his bid. And the latest tallies have more than that not committed to him, and 2 have already said there is nothing that McCarthy can do to get their votes. Coming out of meetings held over the weekend, predictions of multiple rounds with fierce negotiation going on in the interim. McCarthy has been endorsed by Donald Trump, which complicates things for the GOP, with a good number of the party trying to move away from Trump. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Turning to corporate news this morning, we're seeing more downbeat data from Tesla. The shares are down almost 3% in early trading after the company delivered fewer vehicles than expected in the fourth quarter. Bloomberg's Doug Krisner has the story.
Worldwide deliveries totaled 405,278, but that missed the average Bloomberg estimate by more than 15,000 cars. Nonetheless, the quarterly figure is a record. CEO Elon Musk had predicted an epic end to the year. To clear inventory, Tesla offered discounts of $7,500 to U.S. consumers who took delivery in the final days of December. Well, now Tesla is offering incentives in China. Chinese buyers will get the equivalent of $1,450 on certain models if they take delivery by February 28th. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Well, one of Musk's other companies is also in the spotlight this morning. According to CNBC, SpaceX is raising $750 million in new funding. That values the company at $137 billion. The network says Andreessen Horowitz will likely lead the new funding. Futures, again, moving higher. S&P futures up 35 points or 0.9%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 607 on Wall Street, 48 degrees in Central Park. Got showers in the vicinity and expecting rain for much of the day with highs in the upper 50s and mid-50s for lows tonight. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Prosecutors want a decades-long prison sentence for a man who is expected to plead guilty to opening fire on a subway car and wounding 10 riders in New York City. Frank James is scheduled to enter a guilty plea today in Brooklyn Federal Court, admitting that he was responsible for the April 12th attack. It set off a massive 30-hour manhunt that ended when the 63-year-old called the police on himself. Brazilian authorities plan to revive an old criminal case on fraud charges against George Santos. The Long Island representative-elect takes his seat in Congress today. The prosecutor's office in Rio de Janeiro said the case against Santos stems from a 2008 incident regarding a stolen checkbook. Police in Pennsylvania say the man who shot and killed the police officer in Breckenridge has been shot, and then he was then shot by Pittsburgh police. Aaron Lamont Swan, who was 28, was wanted for a parole violation and fled from a traffic stop. Allegheny County Police Superintendent Christopher Kearns.
There was a car chase. The suspect crashed the car and fled into the woods. The officers quickly formed a perimeter. While forming the perimeter, the suspect ran from the wooded area. While fleeing from the officers, the suspect fired at the officers.
Christopher Kearns with the Allegheny County Police says Chief Justin McIntyre, who was killed, was the definition of a community officer. A suspect in the New Year's Eve machete attack on 3 New York City police officers near Times Square has been arrested and charged with attempted murder. Police identified him as 19-year-old Trevor Bickford of Wells, Maine. Retired NYPD Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce says the heavy police presence on New Year's Eve is usually a successful deterrent.
Of course, this is our biggest deployment of the year in New Year's Eve. We have the most officers out there. We have all kinds of frozen zones and defined grids. It's not unusual at all to have several thousand police officers working that night. So we haven't had this for a while.
During the attack, one of the 3 officers shot and wounded the suspect in the shoulder. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi and John Stanishauer. Back with us.
Nathan, it was to be a big game between two of the NFL's best teams, but in the first quarter, outcome of a football game seemed awfully insignificant. Buffalo safety DeMar Hamlin made a tackle, got up for a couple of seconds, and then fell backwards. It was clear this was not a normal injury. He had gone into cardiac arrest, received CPR and oxygen. They were able on the field to have his heartbeat restored. But Hamlin is now in a Cincinnati hospital, listed in critical condition. At one point, there was talk of resuming the game. The NFL later said that was a false report. It was an hour and a half before the game was officially postponed. Bills flew back to Buffalo. The NFL has not said when the game will be resumed. They played four bowl games. Penn State pulled away on Utah to win the Rose. LSU took the Citrus 63-7 over Purdue. Mississippi State won its bowl game for Coach Mike Leach, who recently passed away. And an amazing Cotton Bowl win for Tulane. Trailed USC by 15 with just over 4 minutes left. Took its first lead with 9 seconds left. Tulane won 46-45. Knicks back at the Garden held Phoenix to only 11 first-quarter points. Beat the cold shooting Suns 102-83. 12th straight win for the Nets. A blowout of San Antonio at Barclays 139-103. And Cleveland's overtime win over Chicago. The Cavs' Donovan Mitchell scored 71 points, most in the NBA since Kobe Bryant's 81-point game in 2006. A year after Rutgers stunned number one-ranked Purdue, it happened again. This time on the road, Scarlet Knights won 65-64. Outdoor hockey, unusually warm New Year's Day in Boston. The Bruins beat Pittsburgh 2-1. They had a sellout crowd at Fenway Park. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. S&P futures right now up 32 points, Dow futures up 251, NASDAQ futures are higher by 109 points, 10-year treasuries up 1 3/32, the yield 3.74%, yield on the 2-year right now 4.35%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on SiriusXM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning and Happy New Year. I'm Nathan Hager. We want to get more now on the situation in China, something we continue to follow very closely as we kick off 2023. President Xi Jinping is now warning of tough times ahead in his country's fight against COVID-19. He said that in an address to his nation to mark the new year. At the same time, we do see some signs of optimism that infections may have peaked in some parts of the country and that the Chinese economy may be showing signs that it's starting to get a bit of a lift. Let's bring in Bloomberg Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran to get more on the unfolding situation in China. Enda, good morning. Happy New Year to you. What does President Xi's New Year's address tell you about the new approach to COVID in China? Are we getting a sense now that zero tolerance really is now fully a thing of the past?
It's telling us that China's move away from COVID zero is happening at a much faster pace than anyone could have anticipated. We are seeing, though, however, a bigger economic hit than many economists had anticipated when the relaxation of measures was first announced. So we had some PMI data over the weekend showing the hit to the manufacturing and services side in December was bigger than anticipated. In particular, services took its biggest hit since February 2020 when the pandemic was getting underway. And that reflects, of course, as we know, the hit to consumer confidence, consumer spending, and the broader hit to industrial production in China. So these comments from President Xi Jinping do seem to underscore the idea that the top of the party believes that they can navigate their way out of this. Of course, our colleagues are reporting a significant impact on public health across China, but to your point, there are also some very tentative early signs that perhaps the disease outbreak is peaking in at least some major cities at least.
So the leadership may be signaling that it sees a way to navigate this situation. What do economists think about the outlook for China in 2023? Are they starting to reassess their projections given the disappointing data we've gotten in recent days?
I think the assessments are being reassessed on an almost daily basis, Nathan. I mean, obviously, number one is the public health crisis. China has to navigate that. But when you look at the economic side of it, as you mentioned earlier, we're getting some high-frequency readings now that subway usage, for example, in some major cities, including Beijing, is actually picking up. And analysts are saying that's pointing to perhaps greater confidence among consumers to get out and about. The health experts say it might be pointing to a peak in the level of infections. So if and when China gets through the health side of it, and don't forget, by the way, they first have to navigate the Lunar New Year holidays coming up here in a couple of weeks, then there is expected to be something of a growth dividend for the economy. Consumers get motoring again. Tourists get spending and traveling both domestically and, of course, they will go to the rest of the world too. Again, the real estate sector in China will get a bit of a lift if households have more confidence to get out and about and buy property. So when you add it up, there's expected to be something of a recovery, maybe even a sharp recovery in China's economy from the middle of, say, this year. But as I mentioned, there are other headwinds happening at the moment as well. Global demand for Chinese-made goods is pretty weak. That's weighing on exporters. And it will take a lot, of course, to turn around the real estate slump. But nonetheless, the exit from COVID zero is proving to be quite chaotic. But at the same time, ultimately, it is expected to lend itself towards a recovering economy in China.
So you mentioned the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year. It'll be interesting to see what kind of catalyst that could provide in terms of what the outlook's going to be for China going forward even further. What's the signal that you expect to see from the Lunar New Year, given potential trepidations among the Chinese people about how the COVID situation could unfold?
Well, exactly, Nathan. I mean, Lunar New Year is the Christmas for China. Think about it that way. So this is a huge migration when everybody goes home to see their family. So again, you have to look at it through the public health lens, number one. A lot of analysts are saying it will probably mean a bigger and faster spread of the disease in rural and regional China. And of course, that pressures the hospitals. And that doesn't exactly lend itself towards buoyant consumer confidence. But again, providing the authorities can navigate that by minimizing the health effects, the thinking is that, you know, the more China starts to stand on its own feet and adjust to life with COVID, the more it will lend itself to a normalizing economy. In terms of work practices, we're seeing some signs that the industrial sector is getting back on its feet already. For example, the big Apple plant, the iPhone City, as it's known, is back towards 90% of production. People are closely watching for signs of recovery in supply chains, which does seem to be happening at the moment. And as I mentioned to you, the more China can adjust to it, the more it will lend itself towards a normalizing consumer, a normalizing industrial base. And, of course, that will lend itself towards a more productive Chinese economy.
But yeah.
We're still very early in this, Nathan, and I think the coming weeks and months are going to offer a lot of clarity on it.
Absolutely. Thanks for this, as always, and great to have you on with us. Enda Curran, Chief Asia Economics Correspondent for Bloomberg News. Looking at the offshore yuan, it is strengthening slightly against the dollar at 6.9232. And futures are higher on this first trading day of 23. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update's brought to you by Innovation Refunds. This is your daily reminder from Innovation Refunds. To apply for a payroll tax refund if your small or medium-sized business was impacted by COVID-19, Innovation Refunds clients already claimed over $2 billion in payroll tax refunds. Get started at GetRefunds.com. And futures are higher this morning. We check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 32 points, up 0.8%. Dow futures up 0.8%, or 256 points. And NASDAQ futures up 1%, or 108 points. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. 10-year Treasury up 1, the yield 3.75%, the yield on the 2-year 4.35%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1% on 91 cents at $79.35 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $12.30 at $18.38.50 an ounce. The euro 1.0525 against the dollar, British pound 1.1923. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Representative Kevin McCarthy's chances of becoming House Speaker remain in doubt as Republicans formally take control of the chamber today. McCarthy can't lose more than 4 GOP votes in his bid for speaker. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, Warriors, and Cavaliers won. Cleveland's Donovan Mitchell scored 71 points. In hockey, the Bruins won. Bills defensive back Damar Hamlin is in critical condition after he suffered a cardiac arrest on the field. Monday night's game has been postponed against the Bengals. Funeral services take place today for soccer great Pele in Brazil, who died last week at age 82. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It's 6:23 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to focus now on a couple of Elon Musk-led companies that aren't Twitter. We're watching shares of Tesla this morning. They're down 2.75% in early trading after the electric vehicle maker hit a new record for deliveries in its latest quarter, but still short of Wall Street estimates. And SpaceX is reportedly entering a new fundraising round that would value the rocket company at $137 billion. Let's bring in Alex Webb for more on these stories, Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent and our go-to guy for tech and, in recent weeks, all things Elon Musk related. Alex, good morning. Great to have you with us on this first trading day of the new year. So Tesla posted a new quarterly delivery record, but not enough to meet Wall Street or even, I guess, Elon Musk's own expectations. Did he set the bar too high?
Well, it certainly seems so. They had the company had forecast expanding deliveries by 50%. They managed to expand it by about 40%. The target was, the analyst consensus was 421,000 vehicles. It hit 405,000. That's even with some heavy discounting that came in. It speaks to, you know, the slowness in the automotive industry and, of course, especially in electric vehicles where the price point tends to be quite a bit higher.
So is this just a story about softening demand overall for automobiles at this point in the macroeconomic environment, or does this say something about Elon Musk's leadership?
I mean, it's certainly – there is a macro story here. The ability to pivot and, still remain appealing as a stock to investors is going to be a big challenge here, and says something about his dealership. You know, if you look at the valuation of the stock, it has come down from 140 times forward earnings multiple down to 23 times forward earnings in the past 12 months. That's still a massive premium to the likes of Ford and GM, which trades at about 6 times their forward earnings, Volkswagen about 4 times its forward earnings. You know, so if you look at that as the metric, it might have a long way to come, and Elon Musk has to try to do something to pep it up again.
Now let's talk about this report that SpaceX is entering a new, $750 million fundraising round. I guess this is from CNBC. Elon Musk had denied a similar report from Bloomberg last month. What do you make of this latest report?
It certainly looks as though he's unlikely to be taking the company public anytime soon, which had been something that people had mooted. It's obviously not a great time to take any company public right now. It does seem to corroborate Bloomberg's reporting. The valuation is a little below the $140 billion that Bloomberg had reported a month ago. CNBC reporting that it's $137 billion. The investors look like to be sort of classic Elon Musk backers, Andreessen Horowitz, Founders Fund, Sequoia, people who are generally quite close to him and his companies. It has a need for capital. It's still investing in new projects, even though it is able to generate, decent revenue from the projects that it already has. This is an expanding company trying lots of exciting new things.
All right. Alex Webb, as always, great to have you on with us. Alex Webb, Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent, and taking a look at Tesla shares right now, they are down 2.7%. Bucking the broader market, futures are moving higher this morning. We've got a look at your top stories, local headlines, a fuller check of markets just ahead. First, let's bring in Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin for a look at your weather forecast.
Unsettled weather headed our way as an area of low pressure passes west of the region over the next 24 hours. It'll be cloudy today. Some rain will develop later in the morning. Mild today, 55 to 60. Scattered showers end during the evening. Lows tonight, 50 to near 55. Tomorrow looks like another round of rain moving through. Highs will be close to 60. Few showers Thursday, 50 to 55. I'm Rob Carolin with your 3-day forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Coming up on 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at IBKR.com/RIA. Up first, we begin the trading year with gains for equities accompanied by uncertain market sentiment. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with that story. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Futures point to a good start for equities after they lost 20% in value during a tumultuous year. Investors are wading into 2023 with uncertainty, but with that comes potential opportunity. IEQ Advisors co-CEO Alan Zafran.
You should be slowly, methodically buying into the weakness because inevitably the economy will bottom, the Fed will pivot, people will look forward to much better growth in 2024.
And once that happens, Zafran predicts investors will be, quote, off to the races again. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. Turning overseas, COVID remains front and center in China. President Xi Jinping says his country is moving into a new phase as it continues its COVID pivot. In the New Year address, Xi warned of hard times ahead.
With extraordinary efforts, China has prevailed over unprecedented difficulties and challenges, and it has not been an easy journey for anyone. We have now entered a new phase of COVID response where tough challenges remain.
And Chinese President Xi Jinping did not acknowledge recent protests over COVID directly, but he did say it's only natural for people to have different concerns and views on issues.
Well, Nathan, IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva also sees tough times ahead. She expects one-third of the world to fall into recession this year.
This is going to be a tough year, tougher than the year we leave behind. Why? Because the three big economies, U.S., EU, China, are all slowing down.
IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva speaking on CBS's Face the Nation. Catch the program Sunday afternoons on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, this will be a big day in D.C., Karen. A new Congress will be seated and a new Speaker of the House selected, though the latter is expected to be a showdown. Kevin McCarthy was in line to be Speaker, but he can't afford to lose more than four Republican votes. And several Republican members still have not promised their support. If McCarthy is not elected, we could see a multi-ballot vote to determine the next House Speaker, and that hasn't happened since 1923.
Well, Nathan, futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 32 points or 0.8%. Dow futures up about 0.8% or 256 points. And NASDAQ futures up 1% or 108 points. The DAX in Germany up 1.3%. And the 10-year Treasury is up 1, the yield 3.75%. And the yield on the 2-year 4.35%. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Your latest local headlines straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:31 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. George Santos, the Republican congressman-elect from New York, faces new legal trouble after he admitted lying about much of his resume. Prosecutors in Brazil now say that they are reopening a fraud case against Santos in connection with a stolen check used in the country back in 2008. The case was suspended until now because police could not find Santos. A man facing first-degree murder charges in the murders of four University of Idaho students is not expected to fight extradition at a hearing today in Pennsylvania. Brian Koberger was taken into custody late last week at his parents' home in the Poconos. Law enforcement sources say forensic analysis allegedly linked him to the killings. C.C. Moore is an expert on DNA testing.
In a very personal, intimate, violent crime like this one, it's virtually impossible not to leave your DNA behind. We have such sensitive equipment now. You could leave behind touch DNA, and that could be enough to perform this type of analysis.
DNA expert C.C. Moore. The man accused of shooting up a New York City subway in Brooklyn is scheduled to plead guilty to federal terrorism charges. Frank James will appear in federal court this afternoon. Prosecutors say during the April 12th attack, James set off smoke bombs before he opened fire on a train as it approached the Sunset Park station. At least 22 people were injured after a car crashed into a building in Manhattan last night. The incident happened at the West 204th Street and Broadway Inwood Bar Grill. The Vatican estimates 65,000 people filed past the body of Pope Benedict yesterday lying in state. This Ukrainian mourner was there.
The biggest wish that I would like for my family now is the war to stop.
Benedict died at age 95. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State. Out of here again is John Stashow.
All right, Nathan. Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin is in a Cincinnati hospital. He's listed in critical condition. His Bills teammates are now back in Buffalo. It's not known when their game with the Bengals will resume. It happened in the first quarter. A catch by the Bengals' T. Higgins and a tackle made by the 24-year-old Hamlin, who stood up but then fell backwards. He had gone into cardiac arrest. CPR was given and his heartbeat was restored on the field. It took 16 minutes before Hamlin finally left the field in an ambulance, and it was clear that neither team was in any kind of a mood to be able to continue playing the game, which was a big one in the AFC standings, so it was postponed. Season finale Sunday for the Jets. They visit Miami. Battle of teams who both lost five straight. Dolphins still in it for a playoff berth, but they need help. Miami will again be without its quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Jets coach Robert Saleh said he still has full confidence in his much-maligned offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur. The playoff-bound Giants Sunday visit Philadelphia, who needs the win to secure the NFC's one seed, and the Eagles hope to get their QB Jalen Hurts back from injury. Knicks at the Garden beat Phoenix 102-83 for Julius Randle, 28 points, 16 rebounds, and Jalen Brunson, back from a hip injury, scored 24. Easy win for the red-hot Nets, 139-103 over San Antonio. That's now 12 wins in a row. Speaking of red-hot, Cleveland's Donovan Mitchell scored 71 points in an overtime win for the Cavs. College hoops, Rutgers stunned top-ranked Purdue, just as the Scarlet Knights did a year ago. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. 6:35 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about fast, casual, healthy eatery Sweetgreen, teaming up with fitness and lifestyle influencer Melissa Wood Tepperberg.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that Tesla delivered fewer vehicles than what Wall Street expected last quarter.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WTBN in Columbus, I'll be talking about a new ranking of the airlines and airports that were the most on time in 2022.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Radio in London. We've been reporting on a fresh round of rail strikes, putting pressure on the UK government as healthcare unions prepare for another round of walkouts.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting some local shopping malls seem to be weathering the headwinds facing other shopping centers.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 6:36 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
The pandemic drinking binge just keeps going. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The arrival of COVID-19 and the societal disruption that accompanied it understandably drove a lot of Americans to drink. But even as life has returned to normal, the drinking binge has continued. As of November, Americans were spending 15% more on beer, wine, and liquor, adjusted for inflation, than before the pandemic. That's not exactly the same as saying we're drinking 15% more, but it's probably close. And before the pandemic, per capita alcohol consumption had been rising slowly but steadily. Also rising are alcohol-induced deaths, of which there were about twice as many in 2021 as a decade ago, and other collateral damage of excessive drinking. Not rising? Federal alcohol taxes, which have plummeted in real terms over the past half century. Maybe we should change that. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. No commentary here, but Avatar: The Way of Water is poised to become the top-selling movie that was released in 2022. It led U.S. and Canadian box offices for a third weekend in a row. Walt Disney Productions made $1.38 billion worldwide since its release on December 16th. It's on track to surpass the $1.49 billion that Paramount's Top Gun Maverick raked in 2022. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures on the rise this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are pointing to a higher open, with Dow futures up 256 points. S&P's gained 32, and NASDAQ futures rise by 107. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.75%. Gold is higher by 9. Oil trading in the red. And Bitcoin is little changed. Hong Kong rose 1.8% overnight, while European markets are also in the green this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, U.S. global manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, construction spending. In other news, Tesla deliveries missed estimates, and Barclays said this year will go down as one of the worst for the world economy in four decades. Regarding Apple, Foxconn's iPhone City is back to about 90% of anticipated peak capacity. And wrapping things up, Capital One was cut to Equate over at Barclays. Carlyle Group was cut to market perform at KBW. And Wynn was raised to overweight over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Republicans take control of the House today, but there's uncertainty over who will be Speaker. Representative Kevin McCarthy can only afford to lose four GOP votes, and more than a dozen Republican lawmakers have not promised their support. In the NBA, the Knicks, Nets, Warriors, and Cavaliers won. Cleveland's Donovan Mitchell scored 71 points. In the NHL, the Bruins won. Buffalo defensive back DeMar Hamlin remains in critical condition after the Bills say he suffered a cardiac arrest on the field after a tackle. Funeral services take place today for soccer great Pelé in Brazil, who died last week at age 82. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. At a 6:42 on Wall Street, and we turn to news in science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. According to a study published today, the number of young kids who accidentally ate marijuana-laced treats rose sharply over 5 years as pot became legal in more places in the U.S. More than 7,000 confirmed cases of kids younger than six eating marijuana edibles were reported to the nation's poison control centers between 2017 and 2021, climbing from about 200 to more than 3,000 per year. Nearly a quarter of the children wound up hospitalized, some seriously ill, according to a new analysis in the journal Pediatrics. In China, Foxconn has brought the world's largest iPhone plant back to about 90% peak capacity. That suggests that Apple's biggest production partner now has enough workers, despite a COVID outbreak and a staff upheaval. In November, thousands of workers at the facility either left or staged protests against extreme COVID restrictions. And end-of-the-year discounts were not enough for Tesla. Elon Musk's electric car maker delivered fewer vehicles than expected in the last 3 months. Tesla handed over a record 405,000 cars. Tesla slashed prices in both the U.S. and China, its two biggest markets. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Yeah, we're going to have more on how that less than expected delivery number is affecting the stock in the minutes ahead. First, though, it's coming up on 6:44 on Wall Street. It's time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Kevin McCarthy facing a speaker vote showdown as Republicans take over the House. The U.S. in talks with South Korea on deterring North Korean nuclear weapons. And President Biden capping 2 years of action on the economy with new challenges ahead. Joe Matthew joins us this morning for the first trading day of 23. Bloomberg Washington correspondent, host of Sound on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, good morning. We know there's going to be drama for the House vote for Speaker this afternoon, but is there really a possibility that Kevin McCarthy's not going to be elected Speaker by the end of the day?
That is a very real possibility. Look, it's really? Something that we talked about going into the new year, and you know, people are like, well, we're not sure. Let's see what kind of deals he can cut. The numbers haven't changed. In fact, Nathan, it looks like they've gotten worse. We were talking about 5 holdouts in the Republican Party. Now it's 14, it appears. This vote is at noon today, and there are a lot of questions about what happens if this goes to a second round. It's been 100 years, almost exactly, since that last happened. To suggest that the incoming majority does not actually know exactly who the speaker is going to be brings high drama to Capitol Hill today at high noon.
Well, what are the concessions that Kevin McCarthy's been trying to make to try to shore up that vote?
You know, it was an important development over the weekend as a new rules package was released, proposed changes. This came out Sunday night that would give a lot more power to rank and file members. And this is a tough situation for Kevin McCarthy. We've seen other things that we knew they were coming, like the end of proxy voting, for instance, increased balance, at least in the eyes of the speaker to be here on the way committees are made up, the way bills get to the floor, 72-hour waiting periods, a lot of stuff that's kind of low-hanging fruit. But what we're talking about here is the ability to fire the speaker, essentially, to vacate the speakership would now require half the caucus. It would now be only 5 people. Ironic that 5 people have been holding out against Kevin McCarthy this whole time. Some are suggesting, Nathan, that he might need to crank that down to 1. Wow. To win everyone over, that only a single lawmaker would have the ability to challenge the Speaker of the House and potentially get them fired. Now, if you expand this, if you back out a little bit, we all know that there's a debt ceiling that needs to be solved in the new year. That is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. It's going to be a fiscal cliff-level debate. And if Kevin McCarthy becomes Speaker under these terms, with 5 or fewer people able to fire him, essentially, or set him up to be fired, it is likely he couldn't last his first year as Speaker. So the drama begins today, but it will not be over, no matter how it ends.
Yeah, I mean, it says something as well about what the leadership, the ability of this Congress to govern is going to look like if not only we get a multi-ballot speakership vote, but whether Kevin McCarthy has this kind of fractious Republican caucus behind him.
Well, that's right. That's the question. This is obviously a leader who predicted winning dozens of seats in the midterm elections. He predicted a red wave. It did not happen. And a lot of folks like Matt Gaetz, like Lauren Boebert, like Andy Biggs are really upset about it. And they don't think that he deserves to have this job. So, yes, this is just symbolic of the chaos that he will likely inherit with that gavel if he does become Speaker. And by the way, if you're a betting person, you're probably betting that Kevin McCarthy is going to be the Speaker. It's still the most likely scenario. It's unclear who else might emerge. Although some of these conservative Republican holdouts are suggesting that today we will learn, when voting begins at noontime, whether it's in the first or second ballot, we will learn of a new name that they have coalesced around. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but we're going to be listening real closely at noon.
Wow, tonight. Yeah, that'll really be something to watch. Okay, we'll be following that for sure, Joe. Where does all this leave President Biden? Is he just sort of watching this chaos and wringing his hands a little bit? Or, I mean, what does this mean for his agenda for, you know, the second half of this first term for President Biden?
I think he's
Biden.
Just back from St. Croix. He's got a tan. He's relaxed. Yeah. He got pretty much everything he was hoping for. I mean, Build Back Better in that massive piece of legislation didn't go the way he wanted. But what a list he has coming off the next 2 years. Granted, there is a hope to do more. And by the way, he's going to celebrate the start of the new year while this infighting happens in the House among Republicans by appearing in Kentucky with Mitch McConnell to talk about the infrastructure plan. Another way of answering your question, Nathan, is that if President Biden spent the next 2 years focused on implementing and funding everything he got passed, beginning with the infrastructure bill, now law, it would likely be a full-time job. Whether he can get permitting reform or free pre-K or free community college, some of the other ideas that have been blown out there and never made it into Build Back Better, Not likely with a Republican-led House. This is going to be an opportunity for Joe Biden to really coalesce around what's already been passed and prepare to announce a run for president, which appears to be coming in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I was going to say, just talking about the accomplishments over the last 2 years, it almost sounds like the 2024 presidential race.
Start making the ads
getting
now.
Ready to be off to the races. Yeah, indeed. Thanks for this, as always, and Happy New Year to you, Joe. It's Joe Matthew, Bloomberg Washington correspondent, host of Sound On, which you can hear every weekday afternoon, 5 p.m. Wall Street time, across Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures right now up 15 points, Dow futures up 148, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 47 points, so giving back some of the earlier gains in the pre-market session. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are on the rise on this first trading day of the new year. And we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg with S&P futures up 16 points. We're watching futures, of course. Dow futures up 140 or 4/10 of a percent. And NASDAQ futures are up 0.5% or 55 points. And S&P futures has again up 16 points, and that is 4/10 of a percent. The DAX in Germany is up 3/4 of a percent. 10-year Treasury is up 31/32. The yield 3.75%. The yield on the 2-year 4.35%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% on $1.12 at $79.14 a barrel. COMEX gold up 7/10 percent or $12.30 at $18.38.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0529 against the dollar. British pound 1.1936. The yen 130.84. And looking at Bitcoin, it's down about 0.2%. It's at $16,720. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:56 on Wall Street. That means we're just a few minutes away from Bloomberg surveillance. First, let's bring in Bloomberg's Kaylee Lines. Take a look at some of the stocks moving in this pre-market trade. Kaylee, Happy New Year. As Karen mentioned, the futures are moving higher, including the tech-heavy NASDAQ futures, but Tesla is being left off this morning's bandwagon.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Nathan. Tesla definitely not participating in that big tech rally we are seeing elsewhere. Right now, the stock is down about 4%, and that was after deliveries data was released over the long weekend for the fourth quarter. And yes, it was a record. Yes, it was north of 400,000 vehicles delivered in that period, but that still came up short of Wall Street expectations and of the company's own goal to expand deliveries by 50%. So the fact that that missed, despite the fact that the company had been offering heavy incentives and discounting in its biggest markets, is really just reinforcing demand concerns that already have been percolating and reflected in the stock price. In addition to concern around Elon Musk being distracted by his Twitter acquisition and just kind of the broader brutal environment for high multiple tech companies given rising interest rates, all that together contributed to a really, really awful 2022 for Tesla. Yeah. The shares were down 65% over the course of last year. Worst yearly performance on record. And it's not looking like 2023 is off to a better start.
Yeah, interesting. A lot of those same concerns from last year carrying over potentially into 2023. But it's really interesting looking at the pre-market trade this morning. Some of the worst performing stocks of 2023 are some of the biggest gainers this morning.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of dip buying here to start the new year. A lot of those stocks that were also pressured by that higher interest rate story and really just the deflating of so many high asset prices we saw across the board are seeing somewhat of a rebound. That includes some of those meme stocks, the retail trader favorites, including Bed Bath & Beyond, which is up by 13% before the bell at the moment. You're seeing some gains for the likes of AMC and GameStop as well. Other EV stocks, Tesla aside, are positive too. Lucid Group is just one example. It's up about 2%. And then crypto stocks also getting a little bit of a lift. We know that 2022 was bad for Bitcoin. It was down almost as much as Tesla, more than 60%. But today you're seeing the likes of Coinbase and Riot Blockchain higher by about 2% in pre-market trading.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Kaylee, but we're seeing some positive signs potentially out of China. Are you looking at some names there?
Yeah, the idea that when you look at mobility data, it may signal that we've seen a peak in cases in some major cities. So stocks sensitive to the China story are gaining in early hours. That includes Wynn Resorts, which has heavy revenue exposure to Macau and the casinos there in particular. That stock is up about 3.7%, and some of those ADRs of big Chinese technology companies like Alibaba and JD.com are also seeing gains. Baba is the ticker here in the U.S. That stock is up about 2.9% in early hours.
Bloomberg's Kaylee Lines watching those individual movers for us. Kaylee, thank you once again. S&P futures are higher by 15 points. Dow futures up 134. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 54 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager along with Karen Moscow, and it's 6:59 on Wall Street. Stay with us. Bloomberg Surveillance starts right now.
Live from the financial capital of the world, broadcasting across the globe, this is WBBR New York, Bloomberg 1130.
2023 could continue to be pretty challenging for stocks.
Fixed income is back in 2022.